Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Sometimes I imagine that things sound like bands that I've never actually heard, but I assume I know what they sound like.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. My name is Patrick Foster. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Rocking the Suburbs podcast. I want to welcome you on behalf of my co-host, co-founder, and good friend, Jim Linehan. Today is the final day of our conversation with the excellent DC band Dot Dash as we go track by track through their outstanding record, Madman in the Rain. 29 minutes of gorgeousness. But before we jump into that last segment, I want to do a little housekeeping here really quick by reminding you to get your picks in now. Best song of 2022, best album of 2022. There's two ways you can get those to us because we need to hear your voice for this. You can create a file on your own, an audio file using your own equipment or your smartphone or whatever you have handy, and attach that to an email that you send to rock@suburbspod.com. Just put best of 2022 in the title. Or you can call our suburban party line. Just pick up that phone and dial 612-440-1984. And we will get that downloaded, and we're going to start playing those calls here in about a week or so. In January, we traditionally go through and hear what the community says is the best of 2022, and I always pick up a lot of great new albums. So let's get on that. And also want to note that there will be no episode on Monday. We're going to be celebrating the new year, just as we celebrated Christmas by taking Monday off on the 26th, everything falling on a Sunday this year. So we want to wish everyone a happy new year. Now, if you would like to recall that we've been talking to Dot Dash, today we got the last three tracks on Madman in the Rain. And we're going to begin today by queuing up the track Everything Equal Sign Dust.
Okay, so Terry, let's talk about these lyrics a little bit, right? So there's obviously some humor in here, some really, you know, sort of wry humor in it, but it's about as heavy a message at the end that you can come up with, right? So what was going on? What was going through your head when you were writing this?
Well, these do kind of scan as a full thing rather than just impressionistic stuff. I did mean it kind of, you know, in a funny sort of a way of just saying, like, you know, everything turns to dust. I did even obscure underground bands like us sometimes have people interested, like you good folk. But and I recently did an email interview with a guy from Music Blog in Holland, and he said, I really like, you know, Everything Equals Dust, because what it says is, you know, don't take life so seriously. You know, and he was saying it as like a positive thing, don't worry, it's going to turn to dust anyway, which I thought, that's a nice kind of interesting take on it. I actually meant it, you know, in a sort of negative, but who cares sort of way. But I don't know. I just meant it in, it has like stupid, like office jargon in it, like a simple FYI would have sufficed, you know, you know what I mean? Just like that way office people talk, like, hey, FYI, you know how people say that? Like, they would only say that in a workspace. No one would actually say that, like, you know, in a grocery store to you, like, hey, that's why I'm not going to get some joy. But there's a lot of people who would say that a lot, you know, in a workspace. So it's kind of using that sort of office talk a little bit. And this is the song that Danny doesn't like his drumming on it. I think his drumming's awesome.
Oh, great,
on it.
Man. I'd love the drumming
on
like,
that. I'm like, what are you talking about? But, you know.
By the time we had played this, and again, like normally we're very economical, whether we're rehearsing in the basement or whether we're recording at the studio, it's usually like for Hunter and I, it's like one take and then we're done with the song. And on a couple of these, I don't know what it was, but a couple of them we had to do like two or three times. And by the time we got to this one, I was a little bit worn down. And when we play it live, my drum fills tend to be more Keith Moon-like. Yes. So not as tight, more like just rambling all over the place, you know, more spread out. And in this one, I was conscious of not wanting to have to record it a bunch of times, like if I didn't nail the fills perfectly. So I just had more of like a restrained sort of thing during a lot of those fills that wasn't there live. So right after we finished recording it, I was immediately just not happy with it because I felt like I was holding back too much. But I've actually gotten used to it. I you know, the more I've listened to it, I've listened to it a few times in the CDs, and really it's just in my head and nothing.
I mean, I agree. You would normally rock it more than that, but I think it sounds really good. I mean, so, you know.
I love it too. It's such a Who, early Who type song. It's fantastic. I can see Terry windmilling when I listen to it. Yeah.
That's so funny. I can't believe you're saying this because when the song starts off, it gave me Who vibes, and I even wrote down the Who, but then I crossed it off because then when the song, you know, kind of got into the verse, I was like, no, maybe I'm just hearing things. It doesn't quite sound like the Who.
Yeah, no, it's totally that kind of a thing. Like if I showed it to you on guitar, it's even more obvious. It's not any specific song, but it's kind of like that type of a thing, or at least that was the idea.
Oh, that's great. Okay. All right, let's hear Woke Up Dreaming. So that one obviously has a different tone than a lot of the other songs, different feel.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of glad to have that one, you know, just for a little bit of, cause I mean, I feel like there's a lot of variety on this record. I think it is probably our most variety full, you know, record, but it was good to have kind of another slow one. Cause a lot of our stuff is pretty energetic. And you know, it's kind of in a Velvet Underground-y, you know, Jesus and Mary Chain kind of a thing, maybe. I don't know. That's kind of what it felt like when I was strumming the chords. The weird one about this, and this will sound totally corny, and this never happens, but I sort of dreamt this song. Like I kind of was, you know how that time when you're getting ready to wake up and you're sort of awake, but not quite yet? It was sort of like I just had these lyrics and this sort of melody going through my head. And then I played it on guitar, and you know, that sounds like some bullshit. I really did sort of come up with it that way. And then these guys added really cool stuff. Danny's just doing this amazing kind of orchestral drumming, and Hunter's doing kind of carrying the melody really on bass as is often the case. And yeah, it was good kind of change of pace.
Great.
This is one of those songs where like Hunter's bass playing really informed what I played on the drums. he does these little ascending and descending parts where I put my fills in. And it's weird. I guess it's the effect of playing with somebody really talented over the years, that you can sort of anticipate what it is they're going to do. And when we started rehearsing that, he and I sort of like instinctively like did those same types of fills like right around the same time. I think his bass playing is particularly strong.
Yeah, me too.
I got to say, in a weird way, if there's one song on the record that I would love to see a video for, it would be this one. I think this would be the one where you can make the video, you know? I think it'd be great.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Woke up dreaming in the rain. It's fantastic. You could do a lot with that.
Hunter, you were going to say something before I start rudely
I was just going to say, sometimes I imagine that things sound like bands that I've never actually heard, but I assume I know what they sound like. For some reason, I was like, this song sounds like Giant Sand. I'm pretty sure I've never heard of it.
Yeah. I've never heard of them either, but I think you're right. It could be like Calexico. I bet you that's what Calexico sounds like. That would
be a Giant Sand song.
I actually saw Calexico a couple weeks ago. They don't sound anything like this.
They're fantastic,
but they sound much less desert rocky than I imagined. But I think they both were in Giant Sand.
That's right.
All right, that's what I was thinking.
And they sound less desert rocky now. But if you go back to the formation of the band, or you go back to Giant Sand, without a doubt, it would fit. Doubt about
all
it.
Right.
I love Giant Sand.
Awesome.
And also with this one, I mean, this was another one where it came out sort of sounding better than I think any of us ever expected it would sound. But one of the cool things about this, I turned 50 during the pandemic, and I felt sad. I felt sorry for myself. So I went out and I bought myself one of those hollow body Rickenbacker 4005 XCs, which is this reissue thing. And, you know, I played it on most of the songs on here. And, you know, I probably wouldn't do that again with respect to some of the songs. But on this one, like, if you play it way down by the nut so that it – by the bridge, so it sounds super trebly. It sounds almost like a guitar, which I think gives this a really, really cool sound. Yeah, it's the bridge. That's right. The nut is at the top of the guitar.
Yeah, I didn't want to correct you and embarrass you in front of everyone. So.
So we haven't really talked about sequencing, except for when we talk about what song would lead off the album, but does this feel to you guys like sort of like an end of record kind of song, an end of the album kind of song, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to have it be the last song, because it's much like that, like, here's the slow, mournful song, you know? It's definitely felt like a late one. The one after it is like super perky, which is kind of a weird way to end it. But even though, you know, nowadays people just listen to music in a different way. They don't, you know, we don't delude ourselves to think anyone's really listening to things as an album if they listen to them at all. But still, you might as well arrange it in a way that's sort of where things kind of complement each other a little bit. And so this felt like a late track.
Well, I at this point, Jim, I have to lodge one complaint about the record. This happened today, as the family is starting to gather here for Thanksgiving week. So a rare privilege for me is that I actually have access to a car. So I thought I would drive around. I had to run an errand. So I thought I'd drive around and listen to the Dot Dash album. It's too short. I mean, I know it's 12 songs, but I was like, hey, I haven't been gone that long. I don't want to go back home yet.
It's 29 minutes, 10 seconds, I think. 29 minutes. Something. So yeah, it is short. That's true.
It's so funny that you say that, because to me it's the perfect length, because it's the exact amount of time it takes me to drive my kids to school and back. So it's like, you know, when I'm out driving around and doing chores, you know, I can put it on, listen to it.
Well, you probably have a car. You can drive every day. I can't.
Think of other people, Danny. Think of people who don't have cars.
Well, when you rent your scooter.
That's what I should do. I should just go rent one of those electric scooters and drive around for 29 minutes every day.
So if you don't have a car, you can get about half this album in at least waiting for the next metro train to show up. So.
That's right. Yeah. Or four times on the Silver Line or whatever it is.
Oh, my gosh. Right. For me, my commute, I can list this multiple times. I'll know it backwards, forwards, inside and out by the time I reach my destination. Okay. So this is it. Now we finish the album with Dead Gone. Says anything, what's the one word you would say after listening to this? What's one word?
House Martins.
That's the same word I have. House Martins.
Or McCarthy, one of the two. You could go McCarthy as well.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Excellent. McCarthy. Yeah, it's totally that kind of a song. And it's sort of like, this is one we probably, you know, we might have dropped in the future, but, right, you know, it had time gone on, but It's kind of a fun rockin' tune, and you know, it's not any great shakes, but it's kind of fun and boppy, and the extra parts came out. It's got a middle section where Danny and Hunter do some cool kind of dreamy atmospheric stuff. So that kind of gives,
you know, before a lot of Terry's overdubs and so forth were put on it, it sounded even more distinctly House Martins like, and we would joke about it, you know, when we were rehearsing it and so forth. It sounds less so now, but this is my second favorite song on the record. It's like, just like aggressively cheerful and like happy sounding. And I'm a sucker for like a really good sort of pop melody. And going back to something that Hunter said earlier, it's one of those songs that came out sounding so much better than I thought it was ever going to sound like. And I was real pleased with that. And so, you know, I've teased Terry about burying the song last on the CD, but I think it's great to end the CD on sort of a high note.
Absolutely. Like that, so. It's wonderful.
And it's not only an homage to the House Martins. It's actually almost, I don't know if it's the exact same chord progression, but I am playing the exact same bass line as I played on At the Appointed Hour, which was a Julie Ocean song. So,
oh really?
It's sort of similar.
And the intro drum part came about for me trying to play a Smashing Pumpkins Jimmy Chamberlain drum thing.
You know, it makes me think of like you know, when I was first getting into like new wave type music, like there's this band called Any Trouble. It makes me think of those kind of bands, you know. Again, if you don't really come up with a song like that, you don't think like, oh man, that's good. You know, you're just like, oh, I could make a song out of that. But, you know, there it is.
I think it's wonderful. That's one of the things, when you get to the end, you're like, there's no more. That's it. We were just really rolling here.
Yeah, and it's kind of good that it ended on this like kind of bubblegummy, you know, jaunty tune.
No, it works perfectly. I think it works perfectly. All right. So where can people get Madmen in the Rain?
The best place to get it, if you're into hard copies, is from the great label in Ottawa, who has put out this record and all of our records, The Beautiful Music, and their website is thebeautifulmusic.com for $15 Canadian, which is, you know, 11 or 12 bucks US. You know, you just pay on PayPal or whatever. Wally, who runs the label, will send you this record and probably like three or four others of ours or some of the other bands on the label. He's a great guy, and it's a really cool label that's been going for a good while. This is, I think, their 54th release. And so, yeah, thebeautifulmusic.com is the best place to go. But if you're more oriented towards downloads, Bandcamp, we're on Bandcamp, and you can hear it on Spotify and places like that. But, cool. TheBeautifulMusic.com is the best place, but there are other options.
And your whole back catalog is there as well.
It is, and it's also on Bandcamp too. You can get all this stuff on Bandcamp at a low, low price.
You can also purchase these things from us when we perform live.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, what's coming up on the Dot Dash calendar?
We've just recently done some shows with, as you said, Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah, and we played with a really crazy full-on band from San Diego called the Schizophonics recently. And now it's a bit quiet until the front part of next year, unless a few things drop on us, which might happen. But we're playing with Jacuzzi Boys in February. And, you know, hopefully some other things will come along before then. You never know. So, that's how that is. And if any Suburbs Pod listeners want to get our record, if you buy it, you know, let us know and we'll send you a bunch of downloads of the other records gratis. So send us an email if you buy it off from Wally or Bandcamp or whatever. We'll hook you up with a special Suburbs Pod freebie, you know, reign of free.
Weren't we talking music. About some sort of scenario where you would actually appear at their house with the stuff?
No, that's Danny. Danny is going to send, if you buy the record, Danny will send you $5 cash as a sort of rebate. So please keep that in mind as well. So you can make money buying this record is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's going to be like the sweepstakes giveaway. I'll like turn up at your doorstep with like an oversized picture of the Dot Dash. Say, you just won.
All right. Okay. Well, what I was going to ask is how can people get in touch with you? You guys on social media or do you have a website? Or
we have a Facebook page and a Twitter handle, Dot Dash DC. Or no, the Facebook is Dot Dash DC and the Twitter is both Dot Dash DC and also Proto Retro, all one word. And we have an email and, you know, dot-dc@gmail.com and
there you
that's
go.
It.
Okay.
Just those things.
If you want Terry's phone number, let me know.
I'll have a phone.
Hey, and a big shout out to Wally, everybody. Fantastic work.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And thanks a lot for having us on, Jim and Patrick. We really, really appreciate it.
Anytime at all.
What concerts are you guys going to next?
That's a good question.
Dawes. I'm going to go see Dawes. That's the next
one. Oh, really? That's cool.
That's not till March.
We were all just at the Suede show a couple of nights ago, which was really amazing.
Yeah. Was Hunter reading Crime and Punishment?
No, he was not reading Crime and Punishment.
The Flickering Torch Mystery.
Going around frantically.
It's Franklin W. Dixon, The Flickering Torch Mystery. It's a Hardy Boys. There have been some missing barrels of wine taken from old man at Jenkins' house. And the boys
I was always more into what happened at midnight and the disappearing floor. But I think that 12 and 13, Franklin W. Dixon really hit his stride.
I was just going to say thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah,
you guys. Oh, of course.
You guys are you are our favorite podcast, and it is always a pleasure running into you both around town.
Well, the family room is always open to you. So
right. Awesome.
And we made it through with no Warren Zevon references.
That's so. Pretty good.
Zevon?
Warren Zevon.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. We'll talk to you all later.
Talk to you guys soon.
See ya.
Think of other people, Danny. Think of people who don't have cars.